Hi, everybody, and welcome to the last of our community calls leading up to the Integral Living Room event on October 31st through November 3rd, 2013. I'm here with Diane Hamilton, and Ben Levi is joining us and engineering the audio here and maybe participating a little bit too. He'll be at the event. Jeff Salzman is not with us tonight because his Daily Evolver call is happening at the same time, but he's with us in spirit, and he's certainly going to be with us in person, and we've discussed what we're going to be doing on this call with Jeff, so he sends his love to everybody, and he's part of this. And we are here to have our last gathering. This is those of us who will be coming in person and kind of in a fishbowl with the larger community of folks who have registered for these calls, kind of looking on in a fishbowl as we gather together and consider what we're about to dive into, this experiment that the Integral Living Room is all about. And this gathering together with people who are waking up in all the different dimensions of their being that integral practice generates, and dropping into that lower left quadrant, that intersubjective we space, and exploring the edges of what conversation can be as a practice and what communion can be as an unfoldment, awakening a higher kind of intersubjectivity. This is one of the juiciest things we could possibly be doing. So I'm stoked, and I'm really delighted to be doing this. I'm so glad that so many of us are gathering together. I can't wait for the event. And I'm so delighted, Diane, to welcome you to maybe say some things about these really rich calls we've had with Ken and some of the ideas and considerations that we're going to be bringing forward.
Thank you, Terry. I'm really happy to be here, too. Welcome to the call, everybody. Thank you, Ben, for giving us the technical support and a little bit of inspiration and encouragement for being able to do these calls online. I really do. It's quite a privilege, as we all know, to be able to kind of coalesce a virtual community, particularly those of us who have been really influenced by Ken's work and maybe even more importantly, very moved and challenged by the people within the integral community who've become, you know, near and dear to our hearts. So thanks, Terry. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be here with you. And we're hoping to just go one little step further tonight in maybe a kind of a more personal way to get prepared for this gathering. So as Terry just mentioned, you know, part of how this came about is we've done a number of events over the years. We've done integral life practice seminars. We've done integral weekend experiential trainings. We've done the integral spiritual experience. Last year over New Year's, we did the What Next conference. And those conferences are big and they're a lot of work. And we weren't sure that we were ready to put another conference on, but we did know that we didn't want to stop the conversations we've been having. Because for us, one of the greatest pleasures we have are the conversations and the dialogues and the engagement we have with other people in the integral community. So we started talking about, you know, what is it that makes these particular connections so powerful and so interesting? What is it about people within the integral movement that you can talk about politics in one moment and talk about spiritual practice in the next, and you can remain silent for a few minutes without anxiety, and then you can burst into laughter, and then you can have a fight where everybody's expressing their emotional intensity, and then in the next moment you can go back to work, and there's just so much fluidity and range, and, you know, just also just very stimulating thoughts, that it's an aesthetic pleasure to simply have conversation. So we engaged around this, and the Integral Living Room was born, and we of course went to Ken and asked him to talk to us about, you know, what his particular take on the integral community is and on integral we spaces. And, you know, he helped us clarify our intention, because he started to talk about how conversation, you know, that form begins somehow emerges from the void, but it passes through the very subtle domain of our experience and into the more subtle domain of conversation and thought, and that it's through conversation, it's through thinking that we're able to then enact and bring into the growth domain, you know, the content of our conversation. So we actually create change by talking about it. He says every great movement on the planet was talked about for several hundred years or thought about before it actually started to have effect. So he's encouraging us to really recognize that our conversations do have effect. They create new grooves, as he likes to put it. And they require, to do it well, requires practice. We need to know what the practices of an integral we space are. In the same way that we have practices in our individual development, we need practices for our collective development. So our intention, of course, is to create a we space and to question, to ask ourselves what practices, what injunctions, what structures will really help us manifest in the fullest and freest way possible as a learning community. That's really where our intention is in this event. So we spoke with Ken last time, and we ask you to send in to us the email, those of you who listened to that conversation, we ask you to send some of your inspirations, your questions, your comments based on what Ken had to say. And a number of you did that. We received quite a few emails from people. In fact, Ben is a person who sent us quite a lengthy email talking about the integration of Healthy Green, and we'll return to that in just a moment. Some other things that people talked about is the way in which an integral we requires a second-tier majority. And, you know, they have a question about how do you deal with, you know, the kind of skepticism that might result when you have a more mixed collection of people. How do you deal with conventions that are powerfully come from the level of development of multicultural pluralism when they're really group norms and people are very used to it and they may not want to necessarily move beyond that? Is there a way to do that? Some, you know, people are asking, what are the injunctions? What are the structures? What are the rules of engagement? That's another question that came to us. I had raised the question about shadow practice, and we got a question about what do we think the most effective collective shadow practices are. Somebody wrote in that they thought that maybe because the integral community doesn't have a cause, that it would be difficult to create an integral we. And interior and we space urgency is just as valid as the urgency that exists in the lower right, so that we feel this urgency to evolve the way we engage the world and the globe and the environment. Someone is also saying that we need that same kind of urgency in the we space. And just a great appreciation for Ken. And, you know, Ken's sense that two of the conversations that he thinks are most essential to us is how do we talk about the global crisis, I'm saying that in quotes, the global crisis, and also how do we talk about ourselves as a community. Those are just a few of the comments and the questions that came in. We'd like to really encourage you, before you come to the event, if you haven't listened to Ken's talk or if you haven't listened to Terry's talk that he gave at the Integral Theory Practice, you can find both of those on the Integral Living Room website, and we really would invite you to, because we're going to be working with this framework a lot, we would really invite you to familiarize yourself with both of those talks, and they really
are. It's actually three talks, Di. There are the two conversations with Ken and then my talk, those three audios.
Okay. Conversations with Ken. Our original conversation was one. It got edited into two different talks. Okay.
There was my dialogue with Ken about my paper. We also include a link to my paper there. That's optional. You know, for those of you who are really into getting into this in as rich a way as possible, it's a resource. I think it brings a lot of value, and I hope some of you will read it. But for some people, reading a 37-page academic paper just feels like a burden, and we don't want people to feel obligated to read that. But those three audios are... I think accessible to everyone, and it'll give us a way of all being on the same page in a very rich way, with a rich consideration that'll, in a way, I think, quicken the field right from the beginning of our gathering together. So I'm excited that we'll begin with a bunch of common references and a meta-awareness about the whole intention that we're sharing, not just the fact that we're students of Integral and scholar practitioners, but that we're, and just friends, you know, but that we're in the midst of a conversation that's already been seeded by those things.
Great. So one thing that we'd like to do this evening, we really have two different inquiries that we want to engage this evening. And the first is to take a moment to look at what some of our assumptions are about the event and maybe just surface some of those assumptions. We may actually do some of this at the event, but for right now, I just became aware of, you know, at least two or three of mine when I was talking. And so I'm just going to share that an assumption that I'm clearly making is that I enjoy being in the company of the integralists. That's just true for me. I enjoy the conversation. I'm also assuming that people have, you know, varying kinds of experiences in these spaces. There may be people among us who are quite successful in kind of all kinds of different groups. There might be people among us who are sort of consistently frustrated. So I'm assuming that we're not going to necessarily share always the same experience of our so-called success or failures in our groups. I think another assumption for me is that we may not agree about what the integral community is, and we may also not agree about what our experience within the integral community is, because in large part it's grown up in the virtual space. Unless you've attended a seminar and you've stayed in touch with people, or unless you belong to a practice community within the integral world, or you're on a particular set of calls, or you're engaging one of the spiritual teachers, you know, you may not have a very clear boundary around the community. So what it is to you might be really different than what it is to me. So those are just two or three assumptions that surface for me as we come into the event. Terry, what about you? What are some assumptions that you're making as we move into this?
I think I'm making an assumption that there's a possibility always when we get together of something new happening, and that we're all regarding our coming together as an occasion of practice, that we're all interested to inquire into our very way of showing up so that something new and alive can happen, and that we kind of get that it's on us to keep showing up with beginner's mind, you know, with fewer assumptions, fewer limiting assumptions, and more openness to the possibility of emergence. And I think also that one of my other assumptions is that there's a messiness to this, that we're going to bring so many hopes to this that it won't go according to anybody's exact plan, and that what it's going to require of all of us is the willingness to be surprised and delighted and willing to embrace emergence as it emerges, that all of the complexities of everything we're all hoping can happen will be the fertilizer for the actual growth of something real, and that we're all up for that, even though my assumption is that our assumptions won't be fulfilled and that we're going to be okay with that. That's maybe the most important one.
Sounds like a pretty safe assumption to me. Hey, Ben, how about yourself? What are some things that you're assuming?
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Diane and Terry. I'm dropping into what it would feel like to start off in a green context. I'm coming from the spiral dynamics lineage, so I'm using that particular set of descriptions of the values. And just, you know, inviting all of us to maybe drop into what we've experienced in terms of healthy or unhealthy experiences of green groups. So I have an assumption that, and I'm carrying an intention actually, that we can start off in healthy green groups, whether large group or small groups, and use that as an on-ramp to get us well into integral and into turquoise we spaces, that we really practice presencing. As Terry was saying, we practice inquiry. We practice suspending our assumptions, and that we listen for understanding, and all of those green values we can use to leap us into and to provide a context for going, in my humble opinion, where we've never gone before. I have an assumption that we will emerge things that none of us have ever actually emerged before. Thanks.
Okay, great. So that's an assumption that both you and Terry have, in terms of that, just, you know, that the sense that something new is going to emerge and that we're going to experience things that we haven't before, and that there's a way to transcend and include healthy green, and that there's some, you know, sort of best practices that would help us do that. All right. Well, we want to open this up just to hear from others. Like, what are some of your assumptions? There may be positive ones, there may be negative ones. You know, as Ken mentioned, we're always preserving experience as well as having fresh experience. What are some of the things that you're imagining based on your experience of the past that might go on? So if you have an assumption you'd like to share, if you'd press one on your handheld, we'd be interested to hear that.
Here's somebody who's pressed a one, and we don't know your name, but here you are. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Suzanne, and as often when I come to integral gatherings of all sorts, I'm a little anxious about having such a positive green that it's all mutual admiration, and very little or very rarely the kind of honesty that I value, and that seems to me to be a base for things actually to be able to open and move in new directions.
Great, Suzanne. Suzanne Kreuter, everyone. So she welcomes Suzanne to the call. So it sounds like the green value of inclusion and of empathy and of support, that there's such an overabundance of that, and the environment's so positive and praising, that sometimes we stay away from saying some of the harder truths that would actually maybe invigorate our experience and support some of this newness that they're talking about.
Yes, that's something that I have a slight anxiety about.
Okay, good.
How will we... this? How will we create a container that's, Terry so beautifully initially said, you know, where all things can happen, and even strife and disagreement, in a way that will foster that development?
Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you.
That's really
thank you
rich.
Very much.
Yeah, that's really good. Let's hear from some of the others who raised their hands. My friend Philip from Mexico City. Hi, Philip.
Hey guys, I'm assuming that the event is going to be pretty awesome, which is kind of a big assumption, you know, because there isn't very much in the way of specific information about what we're going to be doing or how it's all going to work. But the fact that you guys are facilitating it, and just the fact that I'm going to get to hang out with a bunch of integral folks from all over the world for a few days. I guess that leads me to make the assumption that it's going to be that I'm going to have a great time, and that it's going to be a wonderful event in many ways. So that's my assumption.
Great. I like that assumption.
Great to hear your voice, Philip. Can't wait to see you.
Yeah,
well, it's challenging. It's challenging, you know, as Suzanne said, how are we going to create this event? Well, the point is that we have not, as a community, and depending on our roles, we have not really established best practices for creating integral we space. So that's part of what we're going to be doing. So there's a certain way that there is a question around what are we going to do. We know we're going to have some conversations about community. We know we're going to have some conversations about the state of the world. We know we're going to do certain kinds of practices of listening, of inquiry. We may even be doing some laughing yoga just to work with state experiences. So we have some idea, but a lot of this is emergent, and we're going to be like deciding for ourselves what we think integral we space really needs in order, because, you know, as Ken mentioned on the call last time, we have to be able to repeat it. You can have a one-time experience that's magical, but unless you can, you know, sort of derive from that experience what the structures and the rules of engagement are that can support it happening again, it just is a random event. So thank you for that. Thank you for the sense that it's an open space.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. So long, Philip. We have one more hand up I'd like to take, Bev Roche. Hi, Bev.
Hi. Well, I'm trying to do a class and do this. I'm really excited for this. And according to what, first of all, I want to make a big plug for Terry's paper because that blew my mind. It also was really challenging. There was so much really interesting information about a lot of different threads of we consciousness coming from a lot of different places, and that whole notion of this emergent consciousness that it's available to us in group. And many of us have experienced them in different contexts, but I'm so curious and excited to explore really ultimately the science of how do we generate, and as Diane said, create good practices to create those kind of spaces more consistently in a lot of environments. So I'm really excited about that. And when I first heard that notion that the next Buddha will be a Sangha, my soul knew it was true. And I got very, very excited, even more excited about we spaces and what might emerge in that sacred context. So I'm really psyched.
Great. Thank you, Bev. And thanks for the plug,
yeah,
too.
I think another one of my assumptions, Bev, is that, at least for me, that I know that a big part of my spiritual development is resting on my capacity to be able to move forward in groups.
Yes.
That's an assumption I'm making. Okay, cool.
Yeah. The next thing I need to do, I can only do with us. The next thing I need to do, only we can do. Let's put
yes,
it that way.
That's a nice way to say it. That's right.
Yeah. Okay, well, we had some other questions we wanted to pose, Di. Let's maybe move into those.
Okay. So the next step that we want to move toward, and I think there'll be an opportunity for us to surface some more of our assumptions at the event, because it's just nice to get them out on the table. But we're also really curious about what is it that we're longing for. What is it that, you know, if we move a little beyond our assumption and actually into our imagination and more fundamentally into our heart, and we start really just kind of feeling, you know, what is it that I want? What is it I'm really wanting? What I heard Suzanne say is what she's really wanting is to be in a container that has enough support that people are actually willing to start speaking deeper truth to one another. And that perhaps being more willing to engage conflict in a way that's constructive and creates authenticity and some depth, you know. So what are the things that you're longing for? And maybe a secondary question might be, how have you been disappointed in the past? What's the nature of that disappointment? And then the third thing that we're going to put into the mix, and you can respond to these in any way that you move to, is what are you willing to change or do differently in order to answer that longing? So the first question is about your longing. What is it you really wanting? The second one is how have you been disappointed? And the third is what would you be willing to change? Okay? And really, I think we're going to try and do this not in small groups. We're going to try to do this on the call. So that everybody can hear it. We found that the one of the things that we miss when we go into small groups is that the recording doesn't have the same kind of meaning for people. So we're going to try to do this in the large group. If for whatever reason it lacks energy or doesn't take off, then we're going to go ahead and move into small groups with these questions. But we'd like to try it all together first. So whatever's coming into your heart, if you'd like to press one on your handheld, we'd be interested to hear what you have to say.
This longing for something more in terms of community and relationship has been a theme for a long time in the whole integral world. Eric Troth raised his hand. Hi, Eric.
Yes, hello. I think my longing can actually tie back into the assumption, which for me is the assumption that there will be multiple moments of possibility, that there will be inflection points, possibilities of noticing something where we take a little turn that goes up or a little turn that goes down. And to, you know, really pay close attention to that, to really create such a vibrant space that we're all totally engaged with what's happening, that the attention is just riveted on what are the possibilities in this moment. And I'm really just so longing for this vital space. And I think that, you know, I've been disappointed in places where I see conversational turns that are missed, and I see opportunities to kick up to a new level, and we maybe turn down, and one of those would be avoiding conflict. And I really appreciate what Suzanne brought forward in your underscoring Diane, and I know you've got a book on conflict, but when we have those kinds of moments, can we see the possibilities in that and really take the risk of working with that? And so one of the risks that I would want to take for myself is just to speak to those more freely, that, oh, I see something there, and, you know, to put that into the space and see if it can gain traction, to not hold myself back to from what it is that I'm noticing, and that hopefully would be in service to the group space.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I hear, Eric, that sounds, there are a couple of qualities that I'm hearing. One is that it feels very energized and enlivened, what you're hoping for, and that we are so fully engaged in the present and staying with what's happening, that when there's a shift of energy and attention, and an opportunity to maybe go towards something that carries more energy but might be scarier, that we might have the wherewithal to move towards it instead of away, and that we don't sort of habitually dumb down. Because we're so awake to what's happening, we can make a more conscious choice to move into where there's more life, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks, Eric. That resonates for me, too. Now, Sharona, you raised your hand a little earlier about assumptions. Are you wanting to speak up now?
Yeah, I guess I'm on Skype and I haven't figured out how to lower my hand, but I'm happy to speak even so. I'm really longing for authentic community, and that almost sounds trite to say, but in a very undefended way. So I think it's another way of expressing what's already been expressed here, where, you know, we do have the courage to go into new spaces. I'm really longing for the state experience of expansiveness that I feel and have felt from this kind of dialogue and these kinds of conversations, and kind of the thrill, I'm a thrill seeker, the thrill of riding out there on the edge, especially as we, you know, dip our toes into new territory together. So, that's a deep longing of mine. And I've been disappointed in the infrequency of those moments in my life. Yes, what am I willing to do to change, to help create that? And I just moved to Boulder, so, honestly, I don't, you know, I'm not ready to say anything more right now, you know.
All right.
I didn't realize you'd made that move. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Great to hear you, Sharona.
Yeah, thank you, Jay.
Okay. My friend Mary Linda has raised her hand. Hi.
Hey, Terry. Hi, Diane. I'm getting so excited. So excited to hug you all when I get there. I'm trying to think how I can frame how I want to say what my longing is. I think my deepest longing is to get in this wonderful we space, but that the we space will have such a powerful frequency that we will immediately shift into the bigger, greater field, the source, the, you know, that evolutionary impulse, however you want to frame that, and that shift will be so powerful because we've all for so long been in our own subjective I space, and we've all felt ourselves, you know, floating in that beautiful, you know, greater, bigger space. But to come together with all these eyes that already hold this and then shift, I'm longing for what that must be like and that emergence of what may come out of that.
Wow. Awesome. So like just an instantaneous kind of up-leveling where because we've done so much individual practice, we have the free attention to stay really located in the we and in the we that's beyond the we.
Yes. I can feel it.
Yes. I really resonate with that. That's exciting. Thank you, Mary Linda. Good to hear your voice. Mm-hmm.
And I want to just add, Terry, I loved, and the only word I can use is your word. Your beautiful essay was rich. I loved it. I love the conversations with Ken. I always love Ken. It was just wonderful. Just added to the vibration. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, it'll be great to see you soon.
Thank you.
So looking forward to the event now. My expectation, this is, we were going to prepare you, but you're preparing me. Deborah Jackson, you've raised your hand too. Hi.
Hello. Hang on. Whoops. Hello. I wasn't sure if I had you on mute. Sorry about that. I am not attending, but I'm with you in spirit, and I wanted to answer the question as far as my expectations would be for any groups, you know, doing something similar. My longing, I think, is similar to the last caller. I think of it in terms of some of Ken's teaching of looking for transformation, or the difference between translation versus transformation. And if it's, you know, we've talked that translation isn't necessarily less than transformation, but in a group like this, I almost want a common unity on the idea that we are there for some very powerful, effective, efficient, you know, translation, you know, mechanisms, that some translation that can happen for us, which sets us up to be ready for those big shifts that we really want. You know, so I think sometimes, I think for myself, this kind of goes into the disappointment part. It's definitely, you know, going to group events and feeling that too much of the kumbaya, too much of the green, or that comes from green, and, you know, it was too much of a just you know, a nice social gathering and not that real deep work that I so desperately need, want, feel more and more ready for. And that this work is so, people have said it, like the most difficult work of your life, that clearly we need to be really serious about how we get this most critical work done, you know? And so, anything you like to think in that space, or if you have an understanding that that's what you're looking for, you can at least make the attempt. You know, even if you have trial, you know, the trial and error, and say, hey, well, it was a nice try, it got us a little way, but, you know, I think we can do better. It's almost like, you know, designing. If you're designing a structure, designing anything, it's like, how do we design these tools? And tools would be, you know, part of the group coming together and what activities you do to give us that type of really, you know, purposeful translation. Do we all need the exact type? You know, I don't know, right? Depends on maybe where we're starting from, but I have a feeling that if it's really powerful for one, it's likely really powerful for everybody. It's like being, you know, they've talked about astronauts being in space and looking back at the Earth, and that's enough to really give you a shift, right? Well, did that happen for one astronaut and not all? Well, probably for all, to some extent or another, is extremely powerful. So what am I willing to do? It's interesting. I've been asking myself that question a lot, every day, every hour. Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the best thing? Am I doing the highest thing? And for me right now, what's kind of interesting is my answer has been the choices of what I'm not going to do. So what I'm willing to do is to say no to a lot of those things, which in right now tends to be some of those kumbaya gatherings. And that's actually been empowering to me, to have recently said no to some stuff that otherwise I thought you know, could have been really great. But I'm realizing those are if I don't see that the situation, the opportunity, or the teacher, the group, or the job doesn't have what, you know, at least the potential, because I know it's going to be so hard anyway, it's like at least has to have the intention and the design and the potential to get us that translation to transformation that I'm looking for.
You sound so passionate and so excited, and you reminded me a little bit of what Eric said about just really wanting there to be a lot of passion and a lot of life. Why aren't you coming to the event?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mentioned actually in the last call that one of my hesitations was exactly what I'm talking about. One of my hesitations when, you know, I saw the event advertised, and I'm in Cleveland, so it's not just around the corner for me, and I thought, man, I don't want to spend the money, which is not, I don't have freely or a lot of access, you know, I don't want to do this and kind of be disappointed that it was a kumbaya session, you know, even though I was sure that it would be fun and definitely, you know, fun, but I was really being, you know, and that's actually why I'm on each one of these calls, because I was like, let me see if they're moving there. And just this call today, I was excited. I'm like, they're asking these questions. This is good. This is exactly where we need to be. But I also am thinking, yeah, but we're just starting. Now, I certainly want to be a part of it, but I'm also recognizing that, you know, we don't even know, you know, you're going to do it, but you're we're really just asking the questions now, you know.
Ready?
So
are you ready for the challenge? Are you ready for the Suzanne Cook-Greuter speaking my truth and giving you a challenge into the space?
Absolutely.
Okay, so by holding back, your capacity to step into the space and uplift the group is being withheld.
I know. It's like such a paradoxical catch-22. I was just kind of venting about this today, saying, I know the problem is, but I'm in this little stuck space, and I think you're
in a very, very fruitful place, Deborah, just having expressed everything you've expressed and been confronted in the way Diane confronted you.
I think we can very lovingly hold you, Terry,
in the tension that you're going to be stuck in now.
Yeah.
You afraid I'm letting her off the hook? I'm leaving her on the hook.
Okay, leave her on the hook.
Thank you, Deborah.
Where are those changes going to get made if you're not there to make them, my friend?
Exactly so. Allie Tatarian has raised her hand. Hi, Allie.
Hey, how's it going?
good to hear your voice.
Yeah, good to be on this call. Sincerely, very happy to be here. I am totally loving the idea and hoping for, tied into my assumptions that you and Di and Jeff, you know, are going to be holding a space for we the participants to push each other and get excited by each other. And one of the reasons, like, I kind of signed up for this one very much on intuition. I was like, oh, I guess I'm going to this one. So I signed up for it a few months ago. I'm still figuring out how I'm going to get there. But I can just kind of feel that because, like, I think the way you guys are going to lay it out, that it's more of a conversation-based thing, I feel like you guys may be able to just help the rest of us, kind of like Di, you just did there, push each other and articulate and get more specific and more clear on what each of us are wanting to do. So I guess I'm really hoping for that, just that camaraderie and sense of play, but not in a soft way. Like I'm the same. I don't like that kumbaya spiritual stuff. I really like the uniqueness of Integral in that it can really push people.
So one of the things that's coming up in your speech that I want to bring your attention to, if I may. May I?
I think Allie's connection has gone on and off a little bit. Can we hear you, Allie?
I want to step back in here and get updated. I feel like I kind of maybe I'm a little behind on the community for the past few years, and so now it's like time to get updated and actually find out what the community is instead of I don't know. So yeah, I can't really articulate what I'm thinking, but that's that. So thanks for listening.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I think that the issue about how, I mean, one of the things about Integral, and I think we are identifying it on this call, is that because we've spent a lot of time and it's been a beautiful process to move, you know, I don't know how linearly, you know, we actually move through the levels of the spiral, but let's just say moving out of environments of intense competitiveness and a lot of needing to kind of protect ourselves and a lot of individuality into, you know, green spaces in which listening is a deep value, empathy is a deep value, support is a deep value, and then realizing that in order for us to move on, that we have to excite the system. The system has to get excited by challenge, by paradox, by incongruence, by conflict, that the challenges have to come online. And the problem is we don't necessarily, most of us lack the skills for how to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't really, most of us don't really know how to do it. So when I hear Allie say, for instance, that, you know, that Jeff and Terry and I will be doing that, I hope to be able to do some of it, and I would hope that we can also, you know, engage each other in terms of those practices, because unless we get good at it, what happens is that we'll go back to, if we don't do it well, if we don't take Suzanne's challenge and Eric's challenge and actually succeed, guess what happens? Is we're going to regress back into comfort, because kumbaya is way better than, you know, not having my heart open is way better than not telling the truth is way better than actually not really showing up. So kumbaya is a step along the way, and if we don't succeed with those challenges, then we're going to step backwards. So that's part of what we're going to have to work on, is how do we get good at it? How do we get good at working with energy? How do we work with states? How do we know when to allow things to be funny? When do we take leadership? When do we sit back and listen? When do we participate? When do we lead? When am I the person who steps in? Those are all really, really good questions. So thank you.
You know, I'm provoked too by this whole consideration right now. A
Which
big part of what's
like
going to happen for us at the Integral Living Room is going to be intimate conversations with small groups of people. And because there's a fairly large group of people who are arriving, we're going to have many different experiences of the integral living room. We're going to find ourselves gravitating into certain conversations and going deep with particular people. And probably everybody there is someone we could share with richly, but we're going to find our way to others who are ready to have the conversations we're ready to have, and we're going to go into them with structures that will be the same. You know, we'll create different structures with different injunctions and different setups and different, you know, we're going to play through a lot of different particular forms across the whole weekend. We're going to talk with Ken. We're going to be doing practice together. We're going to be doing a variety of things. But it's going to be, in a way, the setting up of the conditions for each of us to be the creators of our own experience, the co-creators of our experience with one another. And the sense that we're all kind of the co-DJs of a happening is the spirit that is evolving into emerging into my consciousness as I feel into the shared intentions. And I'm excited and turned on by that. And I'm eager to see so many of the people here.
Yeah, me too.
Marjorie.
Marjorie.
Hi.
Can you hear? Hi. Yeah, I'm not going to be going to the event either, just for financial reasons. But I'm with you in spirit also, and I've really enjoyed being a part of all these calls. It's just wonderful. I'm hoping that you'll be able to do more types of things like this in the future for those of us who are in the integral community but sort of on the outside a little bit, you know, not really into it as much as some of all of you are. But I'm kind of picking up on, and maybe it's just my own projection or whatever, but when I hear you say things like, you know, leadership and, you know, the different levels of being, the green level and all these different things, it kind of, and again, it's probably just me, but it seems like there's a certain amount of judgment or sort of pretentious kind of, you know, you can't really be leaders without having followers. And the masses of people are followers. And if you're not one with the people that you're leading, then it seems a little bit disingenuous to me. And so I'm just hoping you could kind of enlighten me just a little bit on that.
I think she just called us disingenuous, Terry. Go ahead.
Is that my cue?
Yeah, go for it, dude.
Okay, I'll take the pass.
Suzanne was about, you know, getting down into it, you know, being really honest.
Yeah, so to be really honest about it, I frequently hear those labels being used in ways that I don't resonate with either, and I don't want to just defend that as a, you know, I think it is often misused. It's often used in just the ways that you're sensing and reacting to. On the other hand, I don't think it's always wrong to do that, because there really are these structures. And if we understand them rightly, we're not distancing from the structures. We're recognizing them in ourselves and in everyone with a lot of respect, because each of them is uniquely attuned to actual realities. And there's a kind of deeply compassionate and respectful communion with the full spectrum of human experience that arises from a really deep study of all these levels. So when someone is coming from that kind of a place, talking about those patterns and what they bring into the space and being skillful about them and intentionally wanting to create certain conversations that are not bound by the conventions of some of the earlier levels, but which are freer to move more widely and encouraging opportunities to participate in a richer way, is exactly the soul of compassion and connection. It's a way of being more connected to people, not less. So I think, you know, what you're sensitive to for real reasons, but don't calcify around that observation and and just distance. You know, that's not useful either.
I don't think I, at least I hope I'm not doing that. And I know I probably came across as being judgmental myself, and I didn't mean for it to sound that way. I just feel that, you know, coming from a
very, very judgmental. Very judgmental. I'm going to take a slightly different tack than Terry took on this, okay? So, first of all, I actually tend to agree with Suzanne. I think that starting to kind of get into a place where we develop a lot of skill around being, to be able to be authentic like you just were. And maybe there's another way to do it, but maybe there isn't for right now. So for me, you know, if I hear you say there's something disingenuous, I want to look into my experience around what's disingenuous. Well, I think what's disingenuous in me, if I were to just own that, is that I kind of do feel pretty, you know, for the most part, when I'm working on my own, a lot of creativity is available, a lot of freedom is available, I can move at a speed that's satisfying to me, and lots of times when I move into we spaces, my actual enjoyment goes down. So the fact that I'm in a leadership role when I don't really know the answer to this question is, I mean, obviously I love the practice container I'm in, my students, you know, my family, like my relationships are good relationships, but in terms of like the integral community, I don't have the answers. So when I hear you say disingenuous, for me, I think there's something right about it. I think you're right. I think there's a kind of a conflict between being in a leadership role and not actually knowing where you're taking people. That's a problem. As you're following, as one of the earlier callers said, you're following, and we don't know exactly where it is we're taking you. We've had experiences that we'd like to share, and we know you've had them as well, but there's a big unknown here. So from that point of view, I would just say you're right.
Well, I think that a lot of us see it in our own daily lives, just as being in our families, for sure. Most of us, you know, have somewhat dysfunctional families, and at the workplace, most of us have to deal with all kinds of people who maybe are not quite as, you know, enlightened. I guess is the only the word that comes to my mind, but you know, it's kind of learning how to be comfortable and being real with the world.
I think that's right. I mean, I think that's a real issue that you're bringing up, which is we have ways, all of us have ways that we do well and we excel. We have ways in which we're interesting to others, and we're all irritating. We're all
I mean, another example that in my mind is what's going on in politics right now in the U.S. I mean, it's really frustrating to see what our leaders are doing, and you know, you just kind of want to get in there and just shake them and say, what are you doing, and where is this coming from, and what kind of thinking is this, and you know, and so how do we, I mean, we can't, well, I don't know, we can't, but I mean, I can't, I certainly can't do anything to change that, so. You know, how do
we... Let's stay a little closer to the bone for a minute, because I think that what Terry ended what he was talking with about you is an important one, which is we see something that doesn't sit well with us, there's a little tendency to distance. And what we're going to try to do is to notice that tendency to distance and to try to counterintuitively move towards it. So moving towards that which we are somehow not comfortable with or offended by. And a friend of mine has a set of ground rules that he works with, and we're going to work with different sets of ground rules here. And one of his ground rules that I really love, deep listening, honest, authentic communication, like telling the truth to each other. Number three is the most important to me, being for one another. The whole thing of like, it's so easy for us to move and become against one another just because something doesn't strike us quite right. How do we actually stay for one another even while we struggle? Keeping our commitments, if we commit to come and to show up and to stay for one another and to speak authentically and to listen, then we got to do it. And then finally, being really appreciative for the fact that we have this opportunity. How many of the people in our families out there don't even get to practice anything remotely like what we're getting to practice?
Yes,
it's an incredible
indeed.
Privilege. Yes.
Very good. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Right on, Di. Beautiful.
Yeah, listening.
Beautiful job of being difficult. I love that. Okay. Well, actually, I see Professor Tomas from Germany. Hi.
Yes, yes. I am very glad to speak to you, but my English is very poor. Then please beg with me, because mistake. Yes. Have you received my email about the synchronous field for make round the clock 24 hours per day as a field for connection all the people to meditate? Have you been understood?
Yes, I think I do understand. I'll explain it in a way that I think others can understand too. Professor Tomas, good to hear your voice. Professor Tomas has found and developed a beautiful morning practice in which people kind of can do a universal offering and blessing of the world that he has embodied on a website that he's sent to us and to Ken and to many other people. And he hopes that others will access it. But you will not be at the event itself, right, Tomas?
Yeah. Yes, I spoke with in this issue with Thomas Huber, and also we make with the Gaia Minute the possibility to make this letter to all from Mother Earth. The Mother Earth, Gaia, took to write a letter to all the people to make synchron fields and wrap the globe, wrap the planet by the synchron 24 times a day in whole rhythm, make meditation and prayer for the whole humanity. Hello?
Okay, so, Tomas, here's the what we can do is we can get that information, and I know that Julia will be handing your packet off to Ken when she sees next, so that's happening. And we also can just make sure that we get the word out at our event about your meditation. We'll make sure that happens.
We can share a link. We can share a link about it.
Yeah, and
thank
I really,
you.
I,
thank you, Tomas.
I really
thank you very much. I am very glad to hear.
Yeah,
Diana.
Absolutely, and I love your passion, and I love how much you care about the planet. We'll make sure that people get your message.
This
okay?
was very, very great impression for me. Thank you.
Okay,
very, very
wonderful.
Much.
Take care, yeah. Tomas. And. Let's see, there was another hand up. Ah, disappeared. Chris West had his hand up. Okay. I don't see any hands up now. Do we have them? Let's see.
I have it. There's a general number who has their hand up.
Okay, somebody else has raised their hand here at the bottom.
So if you have your hand up and we don't have your name, go ahead and speak into the mic. Your mic's open. So if you want to make a comment, we're all ears. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Ron Nelson from Carmel, California.
Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Hi. I think it was Diane who said a phrase that resonated with me, and that was the phrase, for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And my sense of what this experience will be is that people who are open-minded and like-minded and searching are coming together. And while I assume that there's obviously an integral structure or basis to this, there also will be an openness so that what I look for is how my practice links to an integral life practice, which I know a little bit, but not a, I'm not on an integral life practice, I'm on a different practice, but I'm I'm looking forward to just expanding that practice by learning and listening from people, many of whom there know a lot more about this whole integral than I do, but I'm going to be staying with my close friend Sharona there in Baltimore, in Boulder.
Nice.
And so it's just that kind of a sharing of the like-minded, I think, is going to be very important. Thank you.
Hey, I heard Sharona moved to Boulder.
Yeah, that's right. Just in time to give me a, let me have a spare room.
Perfect.
Yeah.
There's a woman who takes action. Great.
Right.
So is Chris West, do you have your hand up?
Can you hear me?
Yes, there you are. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I'm doing my usual thing, dropping out. Hey, everybody. I had sort of one thing. I mean, my longing is for deeper community. I think we're all long for community. That's part of that, you know, human thing about having to populate the lower left quadrant. And I think the disappointments that we've all had is that we're stepping down and have a lower experience because the communities available may not be at the level that we want them to be. And so I was reminded of like the old days when there were like encounter groups or intense experiences where you had to drop everything at the door and then you just there 100%. And then things can happen that aren't happening in normal life because we're usually so frazzled. And so in some ways, I hope that this these days can be something like that, where people let go of the other stuff and bring themselves fully. And then, that whatever we are, will emerge. It has to emerge. I mean, there's no other way than it's just going to be what it is. And so I think there's always a thing about expectation and commitment. And so if the participants are committed to just being there and being themselves, then the happening can happen, so to speak.
I think that's right. I like that. I like you. I appreciate you reminding us of that kind of ground rule, to sort of, you know, leave a bunch of your stuff at the door, bring your questions, bring your heart, bring your confusion if you need to, but just leaving the daily business at the door so we can really be present to each other. I just spent a weekend in New York at a particular conference, and I was with a person that I met who's an old Werner Erhard-esque person, and we spent an evening together drinking wine and having conversation. And I have to say, the training that those people did, I mean, that guy is fearless in conversation. He's fearless. He'll go anywhere. And because of that, it was just really fun and really enlivened and really energized. And I felt really, you know, given to through listening to him. So thanks for presencing, Chris. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Great to hear your voice again, Chris. Thank you for that. Okay.
Thinking about a ground rule of no texting. Phone, cell phones off, you know?
That's right. Cell phones off, not just on vibrate.
Yeah, cell phones off. Yeah, Sam, do you have a comment? And we probably this evening, we may not, it depends on how much energy there is. We still got a few more people asking.
I wasn't going to speak up.
Now,
for reasons I don't understand, I didn't. I guess maybe it's, you know, if we want to have a good energy, we can do that.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me okay?
I can hear you.
I know, the connection sucks. But, okay. There's a certain deprivation, I think, in a function of our mind that we need to have fulfilled, and that deprivation is in real rich dialogue or in real rich unfoldment. And I believe in a real rich witnessing of that unfolding, which you guys are in a position to do, and to really experience how that unfolding happens and how to nurture that and everything. But there are certainly markers along the way of how we can help this satiation, you know, to happen through little interactions with these calls and things like that. And I think that the beauty of the, you know, the self-worth that comes from really running a successful event as you are engaging is really something to be overwhelming me, and so, which is why I'm not in a position. I just wonder if you want to speak a little bit to the beauty and maybe the goodness and truth within that can appear without. And I think it's a beautiful thing to really have these things to where it's like, well, you know, normally we don't have these dialogues, and my household is just totally flown, you know. So maybe someday we'll be able to come together, have an event like this. I can bring it back and generalize mm-hmm. it to, like, family, to all this other type of stuff, and, you know.
Absolutely.
All right, let's face it, we all need a little dose.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. What about you, Tara?
Yeah, just the vulnerability in what you said, Sam, adds to, you know, for me, hearing everybody's voice is just making me excited about coming together with everybody. It's the place of our vulnerability and our hunger for not just deeper meeting with other people. It's not just loneliness. We're also in a time in which all kinds of stuff is going down. It's wild. And our world needs us to show up differently. These experiments in coming together at a different level of intensity and awakening and freedom and love are vitally important. And when I can feel the contours of the vulnerability and longing in the voices of people, that activates the care and the eros in my own being, that longing in myself, the sense of possibility gets activated. And it's out of that that I think all my creativity flows. It's when the heart responds to that possibility and need. And, you know, that's where the good stuff comes from. But once we're passionate, then our passions bump into each other, and there's conflict, and getting raw and real and having room for all that to bounce around. The fact that we're naming that and giving that space to happen, all of that just is not generally possible. And at the level that I know we are intending to enact it when we come together face-to-face in Boulder. And presencing it in these calls is setting the stage for a kind of unreserved showing up that is really what this takes. You know, there are various injunctions, you know. Awaken as the witness. Be in present time. Be for each other. Bring passion. You know, we can reel off all kinds of valuable injunctions. You have to build a trust field, but that trust field can't become a lazy one in which we luxuriate in a kumbaya way. All of these noticings are finding their way in this chaotic flow into the room that we're going to share, and I'm turned on. The call is coming close, I think, to our end point. Diane, is there anything more you want to say or do here as we get closer to the end of our time?
Well, I was just feeling into the vulnerability that you were talking about, and I was, I think the question that Sam posed is, could I speak to the goodness, the truth, and the beauty? For me, I've been hearing the goodness, truth, and beauty all along, and I heard it particularly as you were speaking. And I had the experience this weekend of my aunt calling me, and my aunt's 45-year-old daughter, who's been an addict off and on most of her life, and who was found dead in her apartment by herself this week. And aunt calling me because my aunt doesn't have particularly a spiritual life or necessarily religious life. And her daughter, you know, struggled and couldn't really find a spirituality in this life, and so she was struggling over the question of, you know, that she really wants to give her a service, but she doesn't really know how to do it. And I was just being present both to her pain and her loss, and also to her longing to express her love and to somehow ritualize this transition and to honor her daughter. And after we finished the conversation, and, you know, I just was mainly present to her, and then also just exploring kind of from a creative point of view, you know, what was possible. One of the things that I felt is just a tremendous amount of gratitude for an ability to move into different dimensions of being with people. And that Integral has really helped me see that, you know, the capacity to be present to someone's grief without necessarily becoming a grief counselor, and to, you know, sit with other people in meditation without necessarily having to spiritualize every experience, or to be able to talk about politics in a real way, in a vigorous way, without becoming cynical, that this kind of flexibility is something that this particular community has really supported in me. One of the outcomes that I would love to see from this is that we develop more and more skills to just simply be able to inhabit whatever arises in a way, you know, because we know the territory of it. That would be really the best outcome for me, is that we really stretch our capacity to be in all kinds of territory. And to go back to the disingenuous comment, you know, that there are always people who are greater than us and people who are less good than us in certain ways. And that's just one aspect of being human. And what can we do when we have different capacities, and how do we deal with each other in that way? So those are all questions that I'm really into. And I feel really grateful for the opportunity to get to explore and to get to practice, so that when someone like my aunt calls me, I can actually, you know, find a way to be with her. That's pretty much what I have to say, Tara. How about you?
I think that's a beautiful conclusion. I think what I just said earlier is really my conclusion. I can't wait to see everybody. I hope everybody will be listening to these different talks, conversations with Ken, and then my presentation from the ITC, and that will come kind of, what is it, armed for embrace and engagement and, you know, kind of arrows flying and ready to show up in ways that create something new. I'm just turned on by all that. I feel pretty complete.
Armed for love.
Well, let's open up the mics. Ben, maybe you can help us do that. We can open up the mics and we can all say goodbye. We'll have a little cacophony. I'll ring a bell. We'll bring this to a point of resolution. So long, everybody.
Vulnerability.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. B